You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Danny O'Brien. Quebec, Newfoundland, and the federal government have reached an agreement for the expansion of the Churchill Falls Generating Station and developing the Gull Island Hydroelectric Project in Labrador. Quebec Premier Christine Fréchette, Prime Minister Mark Carney, and Newfoundland Premier Tony Wakeham were in St. John's to announce it on Monday. The agreement entails a $70 billion investment with the federal government providing $10 billion. The deal has yet to be made official and still could be impacted by the upcoming Quebec provincial elections. Parti Québécois leader Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon says that Fréchette does not have the mandate to make the deal, which would last for 50 years. The Syndicat des Cols Bleus Regroupés de Montréal says that they may go on strike during the upcoming UCI Road World Championships if the city does not speed up the negotiations of their new collective agreement. The 6,200 municipal workers represented by the union haven't had an agreement with the city since 2024. Union President Nicholas DiCiccio criticized the city's use of private contractors to repair the road network, noting that the work costs 3 or 4 times more than using union workers. The 2026 UCI World Championships, run from September 20th to the 27th, will bring more than 1,000 participating cyclists and about 500,000 spectators to the city. Well-known American actress Hayden Panettiere passed away at her home in South Carolina late last week. Born Hayden Leslie Panettiere in Palisades, New York in 1989, her acting career began at just 11 months old, appearing in commercials, and would later star in hit films such as Remember the Titans, Ice Princess, and Bring It On, All or Nothing. She would also appear in popular TV shows such as Ally McBeal, Malcolm in the Middle, and Heroes, but was best known for portraying Juliet Barnes on Nashville. Throughout her career, she was nominated for 2 Golden Globe Awards and was the winner of a Saturn Award and a Teen Choice Award. Hayden Panettiere is survived by her daughter Kaya, and the cause of her death remains uncertain. She was 36 years old. For more information, go to cjlo.com/news.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday. Happy Monday to everybody. It's 9 a.m. You're on CJC. Oh, damn it. I messed up. I'll do it again. It's 9 a.m. You're on CJLO 1690, and it's time for your favorite show of the week, of the month, of the year. It's time for Death at a Mid-Range. I'm your host, Libasico La Jalo, and unfortunately today I'm back. I'm back by myself, man. I ain't gonna lie. I tried to text Denzel. I was like, yeah, you trying to hop on the show? Denzel unfortunately got a job at JOB, if you don't know what I'm talking about. So Denzel can't. And of course, my beloved co-star Maximilian is on a trip to Kansas to see his girlfriend. Yeah, I know. I was as surprised as you, man. I learned that my boyfriend got a girlfriend, so that was a bit complicated. But yeah, no, we back on this beautiful Monday, and I forgot that I had an intro prepared where I was gonna be like, it's Monday, August 24th, and the Brandon Ingram and Kawhi Leonard trade is still pending. It is still pending. As we're speaking right now, they're still investigating. What are they investigating? I don't know. I don't even know what there's left to investigate. I ain't gonna lie. What are we doing? But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a little chill, random episode today. We are literally in the dead, like the absolute death period of the offseason. Basically, everything happened that like needed to happen with the NBA. I mean, we had a couple deals this week that we'll get into on the beginning of the show. And but yeah, it's basically like the death part of the offseason where like nothing left major is gonna happen, and we still got 2 months to survive until the NBA season comes back. But you know who's in the middle of, well, probably actually the end of their season? The WNBA, man. I got back into the WNBA for the right reasons. We're not gonna talk about everything else that happened. Or maybe we will, but I don't want that to be the main point of talk when it comes to the WNBA, of like troubling men trying to, you know, take away from what the sport actually is. So definitely some WNBA talk today, and then if we got time at the end, I wanted to kind of look into what Vegas, like the Vegas odds for over under wins. So back to the NBA. Yeah, and kind of chill with that. So yeah, I mean, if y'all are with me, I appreciate you. We're gonna be chilling for the next hour, you know, just bringing good vibes, trying to start off the week great. Like a great man said, it's a great day to have a great day. I'll say it again. It's a great day to have a great day, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, let's start things off with probably the biggest thing that happened this week, which is the Peyton Watson trade to Cleveland, where. So Peyton Watson went to the Cavs. Max Strus was rerouted to L.A. And then Denver ended up getting a 2031st round pick from the Cavs. And then a second rounder. Basically, I think there was more teams involved. Maybe it was through L.A. But it said second rounder from the Kings. And then attached to that, like, Trey Mann went to the Wizards from L.A. It was like a whole thing. The back end of the trade doesn't really matter. What matters is Peyton Watson heading to the Cavs. That's the biggest thing. And then Max Strus going to the Clippers. That's also not major, but also does matter because even though Max Strus was pretty injured most of last year, he's still such a great, great piece for the Cavs and has been, especially in the playoffs this year. Well, last year or a couple months ago, he was so good for them, right? Just bringing a lot of grit, you know, a lot of grit, and even guarding Cade Cunningham. And guarding him well at times, you know, forcing a lot of these turnovers. Even though my brother Cade, I hope you've been working on that hand. Well, not that handle, just, you know, just being less nonchalant on the ball. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. So yeah, Max Strus to the Clippers, it's cool. I'm having a hard time kind of figuring out what the Clippers are going to be. Right, they got a nice mix of young guys. That they've brought in. Right, Darius Garland said he's been talking to Tyronn Lue about. Maybe trying to have a season like Kyrie. So maybe you adhere to that, you know. Keaton Wagler, who struggled in the summer league but did have some promise, you know. The golden rule in summer league is that you can only overreact if it's positive. I think you can only like take it for what it is if it's positive. So you gotta really look for the positive strides that you can find in the game. And I thought Keaton Wagler did a decent job, especially after starting really, really tough. And he's got a lot of haters. I'm not going to lie. A lot of people were like, was he worth of a fifth pick? Probably not, some people are saying. So, yeah, that's the Clippers side of everything. But the pièce de résistance, as we say, you know, as the French people say, of the trade is really Peyton Watson. I mean, it came out on Twitter and just in NBA news that the Denver Nuggets were the first team to reach that godforsaken second apron. And apparently, listen, I'm not going to act like I know exactly what the second apron entails, but the way they think, like they talk about it, it seems like it's hell for these owners to just go past that second apron, probably like getting taxed like crazy, whatever. We know how stingy owners are. So once they got past, you know, that threshold, when they matched Spencer Jones' contract, I think it was like 2 years, $16 million from the Thunder, and they just matched it. The Nuggets did, so they went over that threshold if they were to re-sign Payton Watson. Well, I think even before re-signing Payton Watson. So there was a lot of talk about him being traded, him being rerouted, because he was a restricted free agent. So they just basically dealt him, which makes sense. And it was also kind of like premeditated. I even thought he might have gone to the Wizards at some point. I mean, I wouldn't have been mad at that. And upon arriving, Payton Watson signed a $88 million contract over 4 years, which I ain't no mathematician, but, you know, it amounts to about $22 million a year. And I'm torn. I'm not going to lie, I'm torn. I'm acting like, you know, my opinion is super important in this case. But I am torn on the fact that, yes, Payton Watson did have a great season last year. I'm not hating on that. But that season was 41 games. It was 41 games. And Payton Watson came in the league as, you know, a defensive guy. I was going to say 3-and-D, but he couldn't really shoot when he came in the league, right? He was a lengthy, pretty foul-prone, you know, defender when he came in. He had good moments with all that length. His shot-blocking ability is really underrated. I'll give him that. But he struggled to stay on the floor because he couldn't shoot, right? Now, I think this was his second year or his third year last year. I believe it was second year. He showed more promise, sure. And a lot of people are saying that, the Cleveland Cavaliers are really banking on the month, right, he had, where everybody on the Denver Nuggets went down, and it was basically Payton Watson, go cook, Payton Watson against the world. Anyone, player of the week in the Western Conference, which is no small feat. He averaged like 25 points during a week, and he had a month where he averaged like 20. And I remember because he played against the Wizards, and he had like 30 points, 10 rebounds, and like 5 blocks or some crazy stuff. And I remember he met Alex Starr in the rim, and I was like, golly. You know, but I remember coming on the show, and I highlighted him, as my player of the week because, you know, I mess with Payton Watson. I'm not hating on a brother making money, but my thought process was like, it looks good, right? It looks good, can the scoring be, like, remain this efficient, right? Because he shot 50% from the field. He made over 42.5% of his threes, coming from somebody who wasn't even making threes like that in his rookie year. And he's never really been a shooter. And the length is there, the defense is there. And of course, with more experience, he's going to become a more seasoned defender. So I'm believing, banking on that. Basically, this long ramble to say that I'm actually not super mad at it. The Cavs needed something, right? The Cavs needed something, especially at that wing spot. Felt like they've been lacking a good wing player. The backcourt is what it is. Donovan Mitchell is undeniable. He's great. I love Donovan Mitchell, even though maybe for the first time he looked human in the postseason. But Detroit defends like hell, right? You try and go to the cup every game for a seven game series against Detroit. I'd like to see you try. You know what I'm saying? And he finally looked human, so respect to that. And then James Harden, you feel, you know, however you want to feel about James Harden, who we'll get to in a second, who signed an extension. You feel however you want to feel. I'm not the biggest James Harden fan at this point in his career. I thought that last playoffs, even though he did have good moments, when he struggles, he really struggles, you know? And you really see all the downsides of current version of James Harden, right? Just the athleticism really isn't there. And then when he doesn't have his legs under him, the shot making kind of leaves him as well. But at least the backcourt is set. And then you got the front court. And y'all know I got a lot of thoughts about that front court. I'm not the biggest fan of the Evan Mobley and Jared Allen pairing. Them together, not such a big fan. But, you know, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. And they've really been missing that three. I mean, Max Strus did a good job in the playoffs. They had, back in the day, they had Isaac Okoro. And they've been trying to find, you know, that connecting piece. And I think Payton Watson is one of the most prototypical 3-and-D dudes who can do more. And maybe he can have a Jalen, is it Jalen? Jaden, what's his name? Jaden McDaniel? Yeah, Jaden McDaniel's kind of evolution, where he's a lengthy kind of 3-and-D dude who came in the league only expected to, you know, shoot threes and play defense, and then maybe can rate it in and show that he has more of an in-between game. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Payne Watson, I wish you nothing but the best. Literally nothing but the best. And I got more thoughts on Payne Watson and also the James Harden extension that y'all don't know about. James Harden extended for 3 years. So 3 more years of James Harden hoops. And I'll keep talking about it as soon as I send y'all the ad break, because it is 9:15. I got to send y'all the ad break, my people, and I will be right back. Stay tuned.
Code Switch.
Have you heard about Code Switch, CGLO's hot new show dedicated to Black music and culture? Chaque semaine, on vous présente un thème différent. From film reviews to festival recaps, vibe checks, and special curations, une émission 100% bilingue in true Montreal fashion, en direct tous les mardis à 14h. Every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Code Switch!
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Blue. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Welcome back. You are still on CGLO 1690. I'm still your host, Libasico Elagello, and most of all, most importantly, it's still Death at a Mid-Range, baby. If you're just joining us now, still a great time to join the show. Before the break, we was talking about Payne Watson getting traded to the Cavs from the Nuggets, and excuse me. And what it meant for the Cavs heading forward, and I think my final thought, I guess I'm just kind of rambling about it, but I think my final thought is it's a good move, right? From the Cavs situation, you are feeling a need, and it's worth a try. And it's not that crazy of a contract, especially given Payne Watson's age and what he's done and what he's going to be, maybe able to do in the future. That will be a very tradable contract. So shout out to Payne Watson. I'm excited to see this team hoop for sure. Just before we leave the Cavs, Harden signing for 3-year, $97 million, which is a team-friendly deal. And it's interesting because since the Russ retirement, you kind of take a second and look around, right? Everybody from that generation, you got Stephen Curry, KD, LeBron, all them dudes are getting to that age, you know? And Russell Westbrook has been signing minimum contracts for like a couple years now, right? Whether it was with Denver, with the Clippers, I think the last year he re-signed for like a small amount of money, and then the Kings. Like he's really been on the veteran minimum for a while. And it's funny because in my mind, when I see it, I see these, you know, superstar dudes, I wouldn't say decline, but who still want to compete. And that moment where you're like, ooh, maybe we're on really the back end, you know, like Tank is on E of their career, is when they start signing vets minimum. And Stephen Curry isn't in that case. Kevin Durant isn't in that case yet. James Harden isn't in that case because he's still worth $25 million a year. But like, for example, DeMar DeRozan, who signed for the Denver Nuggets, you know, on the vets minimum. And, you know, you're kind of reminded like, damn, man, you know, I mean, DeMar been on, I don't want to use the word insignificant teams, but, you know, the Bulls on the back end after that year with Zoe, it's been hard for them to be relevant. And then his stint with the Kings, unfortunately, you know, never panned out for anything. So, and now him signing with the Nuggets, I'm happy though. I'm happy for him, right, to go on the Nuggets and play some competing basketball. But yeah, that was just like him signing for $3.9 million is just kind of a slap in the face. You're like, whoa, DeMar, that's what DeMar worth now. Well, okay. And just to get back to it, James Harden, 3-year, $97 million. I mean, it makes sense, right? You made the trade for James Harden. You commit to it now. You're not going to let half the season in some playoff games deter you from that. And they made it to the conference finals. They got swept, but they got swept by the champions who basically swept everybody else except the Atlanta Hawks. All right? Except the Atlanta Hawks. Shout out to y'all. So I'm pretty indifferent about it. I don't think it's game-changing money, especially that Donovan Mitchell is here for the long haul. Might as well commit. I believe that were further away from the idea that they were going to split up that front court at this point in the offseason than at the beginning. At the beginning, there was like a million trades, possibly sending Jared Allen, like basically separating the two. Now it feels like we've lost it. So yeah. Moving on. The last little thing I want to talk about for the NBA is Bradley Beal re-signed to the Clippers. I didn't even know until I was just scrolling through Twitter. And, you know, Brad Beal used to be my favorite player. I still mess with Bradley Beal. You know, I got a lot of love for Brad and what he did for the city, for sure. But I've definitely lost touch with Bradley Beal over the years. And he, you know, I think he broke his hip or something, was out for the whole season. Never got to really play for the Clippers. And then he re-signed because he was on a one-year deal. And he re-signed for 2 years. So I thought that was interesting. He's still employed. Shout out to my man Brad. Shout out. And the last interesting thing was Klay Thompson signing to the Heat on a contract buyout. So for he's going to sign for cheap. Probably that I didn't check, but probably veteran minimum or something. Hey, he still got something to offer. He's not the athlete he once was. He's not the defender he once was. But he still got shooting, right? And I don't know if y'all peeked at the Heat's roster, but god damn, it's thin. It's very thin. Very, very thin. There's going to be a lot on, like, you know, Pele Larson's shoulders and Drew Smith and Davion Mitchell. Shout out to y'all boys, man. Y'all got to help my boy Giannis. Y'all got to help him. But yeah, that's enough NBA talk for now. I want to get into the actual basketball that has given me joy, right? Lately, I've been itching to watch basketball, right? I've been itching to watch basketball. I try to watch some reruns of the Wizards, like, best performances of last year. I was watching, you know, that first game against the Bucks and that second game against the Bucks where Bilal Coulibaly got a steal at the last second and dunked and Giannis fouled him. Yeah, I'm not tapped into Wizards basketball, so I'm talking nonsense right now, but man, that made me feel good. But it still wasn't scratching that itch, right? There was some FIBA action right now with the Team France. We just played Serbia twice, right? We lost first game, and then Jalen Horford scored a pretty weird game winner. I don't know if y'all saw. It was a pretty weird game winner where Serbia got a layup, and it was like 5 seconds left, and nobody from Serbia got back on defense, and Jalen Horford just had a wide-open layup. That was very strange. Anyways, that wasn't scratching my itch either. And then me and Max was talking last week about maybe pivoting to the WNBA because, I mean, the NBA, there's nothing to talk about anymore, right? The season is not starting anytime soon. We ain't got no more deals. Ain't no more controversy. Ain't nothing to talk about, and we just milking it. So how about we switch over to the W? The W is in the midst of one of its best seasons ever, right? Best seasons ever. Obviously, y'all know about the whole lockout. Not the lockout situation, but the whole, you know, back and forth they had before the season got started where, you know, they were having meetings and meetings with the commissioner because they wanted to get paid. And then, you know, they was wearing the shirts in the All-Star game about, you know, pay us what we're worth and everything. And they haven't disappointed, right? A lot of people were saying before this season, if you're going to hold out and say that you want to get paid, people were saying that, just random people were saying that. If you're going to hold out, say you're getting paid, you got to show out. And they have. We're nearing the playoffs, right? From the standings right now, there's 7 guaranteed teams that are already going. And then there, the A spot is between the Dallas Wings and the Portland Fire. But, I mean, the Dallas Wings are like 6 games up on the Portland Fire. Even though I would love for the Portland Fire to make the playoffs because I have a new favorite WNBA player. And her name is Carla Leite. And I'll say it in French because there's a French revolution going on in the WNBA that I had no idea about, right? My previous favorite player was Marine Joannès, who I love so much from like the Olympics. I used to watch her when I was younger. She used to play, well, she still plays for Team France. And when I was younger, I used to watch the Olympics and the women's team, she used to freaking cook. And there's a bunch that I will get to talk about. But yeah, that's the subject I wanted to talk about is the French Revolution that's going on at the W right now. And Carla Leite, who's a second-year player, she was drafted by the Valkyries. And she was averaging like a cool 7 points last year. Couldn't even speak English, you know, she was chilling. You know, had some good moments. Then the expansion comes, right? If y'all don't know, in this new season. There's been two expansion teams, the Portland Fire and the Toronto Tempo. Now, the Portland Fire has been, they've been competing, right? They're like 15 and 21. They've been winning a lot of games, and technically, air quotes that you can't see, they're still battling for a playoff spot, even though they won't make it. I mean, mathematically it's possible, but it'll be really tough for them. Toronto Tempo, not so much, even though the fan base has responded, and they got some fire merch. Y'all got to tap in. I seen that merch around Montreal. That merch is freaking fire. Once them paychecks start hitting, I'm definitely trying to rep some Toronto Tempo merch. But Toronto Tempo have, you know, taken the worst, like the last spot in the WNBA. But the Portland Fire are ninth, and they're battling. And so when this expansion came, they had the whole expansion draft, and Carlate was rerouted to Portland. And she jumped from 7 points to 15 points a game. I think she's averaging around like 5 assists, you know, 3-4 rebounds. And she's a freaking monster. I watched her all week. I watched like two games. And man, she got some to her. You know what I'm saying? Like the way she operates off of the pick and roll. I love guard heavy offenses. I just love a high usage rate. You know, them Lucas, them James Hardens, that's the examples I have in my head. And I'm not saying she's like them, but she's coming to get the ball every time. Every time she's coming to get the ball, she's like, give me the ball. And she makes ish happen, you know? One screen, two screen, three screen, she'll rescreen. And the mark of having a great point guard or having a great lead guard is the defense's reaction to her running a pick and roll, right? If you're not worried about the guard, you run a pick and roll, either the defense switches, right? Or you'll fight over, or you'll go under or something, you know, on some chill. When Carla Late calls for a screen, they are blitzing her every single time. And I'm putting a lot of weight to my words, like every single time. First quarter, like first play, she just comes off a screen. They are sending two to the ball every time. And guess what? She just plays the right way. I think it's that the European way, never, you know, the European basketball way, never differs. But she got a little bit of American. It's not. I could make it simple by saying selfish way, but no, it's like you got to play the right way. But when you got it, you got it. Therefore, sometimes you got to attack a double team, right? So every time she comes off a pick and roll, they sending two. And she got dimes, dimes, dimes. And in the paint, man, she just goes. She just goes. She knows how to get, like, she knows how to draw fouls. And off the dribble, she's tough. She is tough, 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 tough. And I even say the coolest part about her game is that she already got a crazy nickname. Her nickname is The Late Show. Because apparently what they were saying on the broadcast is that she's hella clutch. And I went back and I saw, you know, the crazy 4 OTs game that the Portland Fire had against my Washington Mystics, who we'll talk about later. She had two buzzer-beating threes just to will them to OT every time. Like twice to get them to 4 OTs. And she ended up with like 32 points. She had last night, I believe she had like 21 points and like 10 assists. And again, just like diamond. Anyway, Carla, you are my new favorite player. That title really has no weight to it, right? But I'm a really big fan, and I just learned, because I'm learning hella. I just learned that the women's FIBA World Cup was coming in like 2 weeks, from September 4th to September 13th, and all the women that I'm mentioning today are going to be selected for Team France. So I'm super excited to see them. And I didn't know, but the WNBA has a FIBA break, so them girls are hooping because they're playing, I think, around 50 games this season, you know, not counting the playoffs. And there's also a FIBA break for those who are concerned. So just crazy, crazy amount of work. The next player I want to highlight is Pauline Astier. I'm sorry, my French is coming out today because, you know, I'm highlighting my French players, my French women, you know, the French women players. I'm celebrating them. Pauline Astier, she's a rookie for France, right? This is her first year. And I didn't really know who she was, right? I had heard of her and seen her on Instagram because, I like the New York Liberty because of Marine Joannès. They both, you know, her and Marine Joannès both play for the New York Liberty. So I'd be following a little bit on Instagram, not this year's. So I seen a couple of her highlights, and I watched a documentary about her. And man, she's a hooper. I didn't even know that she was a hooper like that. She's averaging around 10 points, right? Great for her first year, and the thing that people didn't know is that, you know, Sabrina Ionescu, who was, you know, the great shoe brand. Well, she has the great shoe line. Everybody wearing her shoes lately. Even at the YMC, I've been seeing hella dudes just wear her shoe. She went down earlier in the season. And putting Astil, who just, he just got drafted, was asked to start. And for her first three games, she scored 20 points in her first three starts. And by the way, that's a record. You know, that's a gosh darn record. So shout out to her. And then, you know, rest of the season has been up and down. Classic for a rookie. But, you know, every time she's been asked to step up, she was saying that no pressure. She never had any pressure. It was so interesting to see her to talk during the little documentary, because she was like, nah, I had no pressure about actually playing the game, because, you know, she was like, I'll figure it out. And the funny part is that the only nerves she had for her debut was if they were going to ask her to dance in, you know, in the team introductions. And I thought that was so funny, because that highlight, that speaks as well as the to the WNBA as it speaks to the NBA, where the two professional games are so different over in Europe and in America, right? She was saying that in Europe, man, they do, like, you know, team introduction, and it's not deep. Like, there's not a lot of extracurricular stuff happening on the court. And she was scared that in the WNBA, right, rookies are usually asked to do sometimes some hazing, or just, you know, you want to show who you are. I mean, I got, you know, John Wall hitting the Dougie in his first intro, or Wemby. Wemby didn't dance, but it was a big thing that Wemby was making his debut. And so I thought it was really funny from her that she was just super nervous about actually the introduction rather than the basketball. And the basketball, she's figured it out. She's a very move at your own pace point guard who likes to have the ball in her hand. And that's what she was saying. The thing she had to get used to in the professional game was that, well, NBA is getting positionless. The WNBA follows kind of the same suit, even though it's very guard heavy. A lot of teams are just cool with whoever, not whoever, but are cool with a couple players bringing the ball up. And she was saying that was the biggest thing she had to get used to, because she was used to, you know, bringing the ball up every time, starting every set and everything. So I thought that was really interesting. But I like her game. Even though it's not super flashy, she's really solid. Now let's move on to her teammate, bro. Like, Marin Joannes, y'all, like I said, y'all don't understand how much she means to me, right? I messed with her game. She really got me into the women's game before I even knew what the women's game was. Like, she really one of them ones. She's a veteran, and she's been in and out of the WNBA. She's also played in Europe for quite some time, and she's been with the Liberty for a couple of years now. And, you know, she's averaging right around 10 points, shooting 40% from three this year, and if you want somebody really entertaining to watch, she's it. She's a mix of, like, Paige Beckers, right? Mixed with some I would say, like, Jamal Crawford-esque, right? She got the one-legged three-pointer. She got a really good handle. All in finesse, you know, all in the finesse. And I'm really excited for the New York Liberty to get to the playoffs. And like I said, with Max, we really want to, at least for the next 2 months, really trying to switch our focus away from the NBA and more into the W. The last French player I'll talk about, I could go on and on and on and on. And I know there's a bunch that I won't talk about. Like, there's an Ayayi sister, who I know is hooping. There's Tijon Salon's sister. I'm forgetting her name. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm forgetting her name, who plays for the Valkyries, as well. And of course, Gabby Williams, who I learned on some actual off the court stuff, who I learned was Marin Joannes' girlfriend, and they've been teammates on Team France for like forever, which I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, the last player I want to talk about was Dominique Malunga, who we actually talked about last season before her rookie year. And Denzel, I know, who started like a podcast highlighting African athletes, African basketball athletes, especially Cameroonian basketball players, you know, talked about Dominique Malunga a couple weeks ago, and I seen that. I only seen the clip. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't listen to the episode. Don't get mad at me, Denzel. Don't get mad at me. And they were talking about just her progression. And last year, you know, she came in, she was hyped up as the next Wemby, this and that, because, you know, there was the videos of her dunking, and I'm pretty sure she got selected first or second overall. And, you know, obviously Dominique Malunga has great size, great feel, and last year she had she didn't play at first. She wasn't getting minutes, and then she slowly got incorporated into the lineup, and she had some really good moments, but also some moments where she struggled a little bit more. Right? W is physical, especially the bigs that I see in the W. They're physical, and she's more on the, you know, leaner side, and she's got way more of a finesse to her game. But this year, she's figured it out. She had a huge jump in scoring. She's averaging 17 points, 9 rebounds, and she's actually, you know, a starter now and a legitimate player for the Seattle. I was going to say the Seattle Seahawks, but I don't know. I know she plays for Seattle. I don't know the name. But yeah, and it's so great to just see to see her really come into her own, and especially, you know, playing more of a defined role and actually, you know, being able to contribute to winning. So yeah, shout out to Dominique Malonga. I'm just super excited and super proud, like, of just all these women really putting up for the country, man. I'm really talking like a politician now. I'm just, they're putting off for the country, man. They're putting off for the country. but yeah, that's the women I wanted to highlight. Obviously, I didn't get to see all of them play this week because, you know, I was only like watching the 10 p.m. games. But yeah, W been fire. There's also, you know, the Indiana Fever backcourt, Caitlin Clark and Kelsey Mitchell. But I've been tapped in on them too. I've been tapped in. They're both averaging like over 20 points. I seen Tyrese Halliburton post a story, you know, comparing them to Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. But the problem is they both got the ability to be Stephen Curry. You know, Caitlin Clark, we all know what Caitlin Clark can do. Super dynamic scorer, amazing shooter, even though her percentages in W haven't always shown that. You know, she's one of those shooters where we know she's a great shooter, but sometimes numbers lie, bro. That's just what it is. Sometimes numbers, they be lying. And she just had, like, she almost had a 40 ball yesterday. I caught the fourth quarter of the Indiana Fever's game against, I forgot who it was. I think it might have been the Sparks. I don't know. But she almost had a 40 ball yesterday. And Kelsey Mitchell, low-key, like, she's my top five favorite players in the league. Like, Kelsey Mitchell be killing. She's an undersized guard who is just so shifty. And she gets so much elevation off that jump shot. So neither of them really is Clay. But the dynamic, for sure. Like, the dynamic, for sure. Like, you know, they're killing both of them. I think they're second in the league. And they're in contention. Definitely in contention. Who else that one? Oh, how could I forget? The next person I want to talk about was Olivia Miles, man. Again, I did not know who Olivia Miles was. She's a guard out of Notre Dame who plays for the Minnesota Lynx, who are first in the league, by the way. They're like 31-7, barely lost. And she's one of the most impressive basketball players I've seen in my life. Like, point blank period. I know everybody gonna be like, yeah, blah blah blah, you know, you're seeing the greats. I know what I'm saying. Olivia Miles is the best player in the league. I'm ready to say it. She's the best player in the gosh darn league. The way she hoops, man. The way she hoops. They made a whole video about her, talking about how she's the biggest menace, right? Like, she'll come to the podium and be like, they be pushing me to talk trash, you know. They trigger me every time. And then there's a person on YouTube that just went back to every, like, single possession where she started, like, talking trash. And they just showed that nobody pushed her to talk trash. She's just a demon like that. Bro, she's just a demon like that. She be passing like Magic Johnson. She's at the cup like Kyrie Irving. And she just be hooping like Olivia Miles. I mean, golly. And the glasses, too. Don't tell me that's not an icon, like a face of the league type of player. You got the goggles, you got the flashy game, and you got the winning to go with it. I mean, they're talking about her being a potential MVP in her rookie year on some Wes Unseld vibes. Played for the Wizards, by the way. Play for the Wizards, by the way. Well, the Baltimore Bullets. But yeah, Olivia Miles, freaking killer. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't catch any live games, but I'm excited to watch the Lynx because from the tape that I seen, I saw like an 18-minute highlight tape. I'm a fan. But right now, I'm only a highlight watcher. So I got to get back to y'all when I actually watch the games. That's the another point I wanted to bring up about, you know, me slowly getting into WNBA. And, you know, the more I get into it, the more, you know, we'll have conversations about it. Is Angel Reese. Angel Reese. And maybe by the way I started my sentence, you think I'm going to hate. And, you know, I'm not chronically online, but I've been online. I know what the discourse about Angel Reese is. It's messed up because y'all got her messed up. That's just what it is. And I think it goes back to just social media is lying to y'all, bro. Her rookie year, yeah, she shot the percentage. I think she shot below 40%, even though she was on the other rim. Yeah, that's true. Oh, that is true. The clips that you see are real, right? Where she'll miss a wide open layup, or she shoots layup weird. Like, straight up, she shoots layups weird. Yeah, she's got an unorthodox game, like dead set, point blank period. But you know what Angel Reese be doing, man? Like, you know what she be doing? She's averaging a double-double. It's like, I think she's averaging 16 and 12 this year for the Atlanta Dream. She was basically a throwaway in the trade that the Chicago Sky. I mean, the Chicago Sky barely got any return for Angel Reese when they traded her to Atlanta. Let me read you a couple stat lines. 31 points, 14 rebounds, 4 steals against the Connecticut Sun, right? And for the haters, she was 14 for 21 from the field. And she be shooting threes now. What's the word on that? 20 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists on perfect shooting against the Sparks. Now, I got to see the game against the Connecticut Sun. And I had my, you know, I had my reserves about Angel Reese, right? I've seen what I've seen. I know that if you go on YouTube, there's like 30 minutes. Well, maybe I'm guessing, but like there's like 15 minute like highlight clips of her just missing layups. It's easy to hate, man. It's easy to hate. But guess what? She was a rookie, right? She was a rookie like any other rookie. And maybe it looks worse when she misses layups. Yes, and she does miss some layups. But you know what? She's a dog, man. She's actually a dog. And it's crazy to me because I was actually blown away by how great of a competitor she is, how forceful she just is at the rim, and her feel for the game. I mean, she has got a knack for the ball like gosh darn Dennis Rodman. Right, she be snatching rebounds, and she even, I know that she came in to this season, and at first I know that she wasn't even playing that much. She was off the bench, and now she's a like certified starter. So just shout out to Angel Reese, man. Again, don't be a box score watcher. Don't be a box. I know she went 0-for-8 like a couple weeks ago, and social media. That's all social media showed me, man. That's all social media like showed me. Twitter is like the places of trolls, and all I seen is yeah. She misses layups and she has horrible shooting percentage. This year, she's shooting great. She's shooting like 30% from three, which was a new addition. You know, she knew it wasn't going to be great off the bat, but that's not bad for a big, right? I've just been super impressed. And I even read that she is 30 rebounds away, like something around 30 rebounds away from breaking the record for most rebounds in a single season ever. And that record's, you know, it's held by Asia Wilson. Not for long, girl. I ain't gonna lie. Angel Reese coming for everybody. And just shout out to her because I know a lot of players that online discourse, media discourse, as rough as she's had it, would have never came out the other side. And I'll admit, I was wrong about Angel Reese. I did not know she was this much of a hooper. And I'm glad that everything's straight in my mind now because I actually watch games, right? And that's the answer we always said on this show. That's the thing we always, you know, stop at. It's just watch games, man. We really pride ourselves in not just coming on this basketball show and talking nonsense on tape that we haven't watched. If I came, try to LARP and talk about the WNBA without having watching tape, then I would be the worst, you know. Everything I'm talking about today is things that I watched. And Angel Reese, I'm a fan. I'll say it today. I'm a fan, Angel. Keep doing you. Anyways, on those wise words, I'll send y'all to the last ad break, and then you know we'll close out on the WNBA, and I got some random you know off season things to talk about before we leave. It's been a pleasure to be with you all, and I'll see y'all very very soon.
Hello, everyone. We present to you our first full conversation with extraterrestrial life, presented by the CB...
Hey, wait a second. Oh, wait, is this mic on? Hey. First, before we start, I came here for music. Like, what artist is this? Since you've been gone, I've been...
Oh, that's the flashing lights. That's some real Halifax indie from the 90s. How did you...
Okay, cool. Halifax. Right, cool. Okay, cool. And like, well, what was this? What's this?
Wow, okay, that's The Attack. They're like an underground 60s garage act. Excuse me, Mr. Alien, sir. How did you develop such an eclectic taste as an extraterrestrial?
Oh, I just listen to cool human sounds on REVC, Sundays at 9 a.m. on CJLO 1690 a.m. Montreal, Canada, Earth. Okay, I gotta go.
CJLO is in search of passionate audio journalists. Our journalism department focuses on short news packages airing at the top of every hour, as well as a one-hour segment aired every Friday at 9 a.m. Our team can teach you all you need to know about audio journalism and will help build up your skills to the level of producing professional and original reporting. Our staff has a lot of journalism experience, and we have dedicated volunteers more than willing to mentor you along the way. Fill out the volunteer application form at cjlo.com/volunteer and through the link in our bio at cjlomtl on Instagram.
Welcome back. For the last time, you know, for the last time in a long time, you are still on CJLO 1690. I'm still your host, Liwas. Cico de la Diallo, and this is still Death of the Mid-Rage, and I hope y'all been having a good time. I've been having a splendid time. There's a part of me that low-key likes being alone sometimes. It's so peaceful, you know. I come into the CJLO studio, you know, get the little keys, come upstairs, set up, chill. I don't know, look around, it's peaceful. Yeah, man. I'm just grateful. Sorry, got lost in the moment. But yeah, as I was saying, man, Angel Reese, shout out to you. And the Atlanta Dream got a team. You know, they got a team. They are fourth in the league, and what their name is, bro? I think their name is Rhea Howard. I think that's what her name is. Rhea Howard, who's a freaking hooper. And I remember her from last year when the Dream played. I believe the Dream played the Aces, maybe, or the Fever. And she was hooping. But yeah. Last thing that I had in my talking points about the WNBA was just how much the expansion seems to have been a success, right? The Portland Fire, like I said, hooping. And usually the good mark of an expansion is at least one of the two teams being competitive. Off the bat is actually really impressive, because usually you give expansion teams a bit more time, right? You don't expect them to be tough first year, but, you know, Portland Fire, that's what they did. And that's no slight to the Toronto Tempo, because, you know, it takes time. And, you know, I watched the Toronto Tempo, and it wasn't even that tragic, truthfully. And people in Canada seem to be adhering to the team. They had, like, what, 15K in attendance the other day? That's as much as the Wizards do. So, what you gonna do about that? Talking about Washington Wizards, the Mystics, right? The Washington Mystics have qualified for the playoffs. I think as we're talking right now, they're seventh in the league. They're 22-15. But that can move, because, you know, Liberty only are like half a game above them. And then, you know, Fever and Dream are like two games above them. So that's possible. Youngest team in the league. How about it? Sonia Citron, who had a great rookie year, is having a pretty good second year, even though her jump shot has been gone. But, you know, I had no idea also she was this undersized. Like, I tuned into a game last night. I did not know she was that undersized. But she's tough. And Shakira, I'm blanking on her last name, but she had like a 30 ball yesterday to get them to the playoffs. So shout out to the Mystics for actually repping DC. And not to get all philosophical on y'all, but is this the beginning of the revamp of Washington sports, right? Mystics, playoff bound, you know, Wizards, maybe playoff bound, Commanders. I have no idea what football entails, you know. I don't even know if they're in season, not in season, but I heard on my LARPing and social media that the Commanders may be good. We got Jaden Daniels. I think he's tough. With Nationals? No. What's the baseball team? Man, I forgot. Washington Capitals? NHL? But we back, man. We freaking back. Washington is back. All right? We are back. And the actual last thing I'll say about the W before you know, I swear it's the subject, even though, you know, we haven't won. Alyssa Thomas, as they call AT, who won Defensive Player of the Year last year. And when I was watching the game where they lost to Atlanta Dream, because she plays for the Connecticut son, y'all got me. She became the first player to reach 5,000 points, 3,000 rebounds, and 2,000 assists. As she reached another triple double, so shout out to her. Congratulations, AT, as they call you. That's a tough name. I wish I had a diminutive like that. You know, my name too long, LCD. It sounds too much like the drug, so I can't. Hey, LCD, LD. You know, it don't sound that good. You feel me? So yeah. But yeah. Shout out to the W. Thank you for making me fall in love with basketball again. And with the couple minutes, we got what, like around 8 minutes, 9 minutes left. I want to talk about random offseason things. Low-key pivoting back to the NBA. There's random offseason things that don't take me off, but I hate that they take such a big turn in the media. The first one is workout tapes and open run tapes. Now, you may think those two things are the same thing, but they are not, unfortunately. They are not. Workout tapes, I'm talking about individual workout tapes. Ben Simmons does that a lot. And I'm guilty of that too, right? Where I overreact. I seen like Bilal Coulibaly work out, you know, a couple summers ago. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, he's working on pull-up mid-ranges. Never took a pull-up mid-range, ever. And when he did that thing was broke, right? Stop overreacting to workout tapes, right? It's not because a dude is like shirtless and sweating and hitting hella that he's tough. Like, he just not hating, you feel me? But like, I seen workout tapes where I was like, oh, yo, Ben Simmons might be like him, right? And off of workout tapes, the most impressive one, in my opinion, is Bones Highland, right? He is so insanely tough. And I respect him because the drills he be doing, right, is like him coming off a pick, or him, you know, him starting his drill at the elbow or at the slot, you know, behind the 3-point line. And you may think, that is a whole lot of dribbling, Mr. Bones Highland. But if you watch Bones Highland play, that's dead at how he play. You know what I'm saying? Like, he be ba 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 and gets it to two. He has a crazy layup. He looked like a 2K player, you know, just the way he hoop. It's kind of crazy. And then the one I have really beef with is the open run tapes, right? We've all seen it on YouTube, on social media. NBA players get together and just play fives, right? They play fives. And there was a couple of different groups. There were the Magic that played together. We saw Franz. We saw Paolo hoop together. And people were low-key reacting to that. I mean, I don't even want to talk about the Magic and how bleak their situation is. Well, it's not bleak. It's just, wow. Was only a coaching change? Is that all we really did this summer? Is that all we really needed this summer? Regardless, I seen a whole video talking about how concerning it was about, like, what's his name? Chet Holmgren, because he got blocked a couple of times at open runs. The video was long, man. And maybe I'm nitpicking, right, for content. Maybe I've become them. I don't know. But I was like, man, you cannot be serious, bro. You hooped. We've hooped, right? I get blocked all the time. Now, am I comparing myself to Chet Holmgren? No, I am not. Because if I had that height, you know I'd be in the league, man. You know I'd be... Sorry, I'm getting off topic. But you know I'd be in the league. I'm getting off topic. And the dude was, like, really concerned. He's like, nah, man, but that slow jump shot, and he just don't got it. Let me tell you something, young brother. Let me tell you something. That stuff don't matter, right? Because you know who we've been fooled by? Mitchell Robinson. Look up Mitchell Robinson open runs, man. He was taking people off the dribble like he was prime James Harden, right? He never even dribbled in an NBA game. Let that sink in. Kevon Looney. I seen Kevon Looney take people off the dribble sidestep three. Never done that in an NBA game. Never. Dwight Howard. Y'all don't remember. There was a period, especially when he was getting back from that butt injury on the Wizards. Same thing, bro. Like, same thing. So please, stop overreacting to that, John. Like, stop overreacting to that, John. Only I'm allowed to, because, hold up. Trey and AD, low-key look good in that pick and roll. Low-key, I'm the one that's I'm allowed. I'm allowed. Okay. I need this. I need this. Okay. I need this. And Trey Johnson too. Look pretty good in that. Pretty good in that workout. Keyshawn George too, man. He look big. Damn. So that was one thing I want to talk about. And another offseason thing that grinds my gear a little bit is the random growth spurts and the random like weight gains. We'll start with the growth spurts. Every young player that comes in the league seems to have a growth spurt. Will Riley on the Wizards has, you know, apparently grew to 7 feet. And it's like a random picture where he's next to AD and he's like, from the angle, he's taller than AD or whatever. Or Cooper Flagg is now 6'11 or whatever, still growing because he's 18. Y'all got to stop because height is a fake thing in the NBA. Kyle Lowry is not 6'1. Fred VanVleet is not 6 foot. There's no way Fred VanVleet is 6 foot, bro. And I know Kenny Beecham was talking about it where he did an interview with, what's his name? Rob Dillingham. And I think Rob Dillingham is listed at 6'2". And Kenny Beecham is 5'7". Don't ask me why I know that. I'm just tapped in. And he was like, he was saying that he was eye level. Like eye level. So, come on. If we're using that logic, I'm 6'8", right? And if you know, even if you even know me remotely, you know I ain't nowhere near 6'8", brother man. All right? So that's, we got to stop with that because I believe, like I start believing it, especially when it's a player I like, I start believing it. And then the other thing that's top is the weight gain thing, bro. Whether it be players like gaining weight because they're letting loose on vacation or players putting on more muscles, both things need to stop because especially with AI nowadays, you just don't know. There was the picture of Evan Mobley going around where they were saying that he put on too many pounds. It was just like a wholly edited video and everybody was getting mad at it. And then the putting on more muscles, I'm really touched by that because you know, all my young Wizards, we had like the skinniest team in the league. They were doing a starting five of the skinniest players by each position, and four of them were Wizards, you know. We had like A.J. Johnson and Keyshawn George and Will Riley, whatever. And so I'm really attached to that. But I mean, Keyshawn George does look bigger. Sue me, guys. But yeah, that's basically all I had today, man. All I had today. I had a blast talking to you guys about random offseason stuff and also the WNBA, which we are going to we are going to make the WNBA our priority now, right? Because the playoffs are about to start. And that's just what the most important thing is right now, live basketball, right? So I'm a stay tapped in. I encourage everybody that's looking to watch basketball, watch WNBA. Because like Max always says, man, if you don't like the WNBA, then you don't like basketball, right? And also, I've gone, 57 minutes and a half without mentioning what happened in the WNBA this week, talking about off-the-court stuff. There was another, green object incident. I don't want to name it. Green object incident in 2026. Do better. Men, do better. Like, it's why? Always us, man. Always us. Like, yeah, we got to do better, man. That's just it. And the other man who knows who he is, that was beefing with, you know, Natasha Cloud, ex-Mystic player. Thank you for standing up, you know, for the W, but I won't even name him. This bum, this absolute bum who is doing his best to take the attention away from what the W is in the midst of their most prolific season, because WNBA is just growing and it's become, I mean, in my eyes, right, I would never watch WNBA like 5 years ago, and I'm becoming more and more of a fan every day. And what's unfortunate is that when you type WNBA on Twitter, 90% of the content is Sophie Cunningham and her very transphobe comments, or the little man who is doing his best to just take away from everything the WNBA stands for. So that really sucks. Really, really sucks. And of course, social media eats it up. And that's unfortunate because there's so much other things to talk about. I mean, I only talked about 1% of what the WNBA is. And that was way more interesting than anything that's been going off the court. Anyways, little ramble. Appreciate y'all for tuning in on this beautiful Monday. It's a great week to have a great week. I'm wishing blessings upon everybody who listened today and everybody that didn't even listen, to your families and beyond. Have an amazing week, and we'll be back next week. Peace. Melodies from heaven.
Rehearsal, you would come over. I was so nervous.